Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
What is up, party people? It is Friday, February 17th, and Luke is out of town today, which means Evan and I are here to party. What is up, Evan? How are you doing this fine Friday?
We're doing the darn thing. That darn thing. We're doing it.
It's a little chilly today. Not quite as nice as it was yesterday.
Hey, I don't blame this stuff on you. This isn't your fault, William.
No, I know. We're still... negotiations aren't going as well as I thought they...
That's okay.
Been, but, you know, usually I can at least get her to keep the weather warm. I can make no promises on the rain or snow outside of that one time when we got that massive snowstorm pushed to Buffalo. But that was kind of as a personal favor done to me. So,
well, the negotiations are ongoing, and I believe in you.
Yeah, and it's still early. I mean, the Wisconsin legislature is still in session, right? So you know that the new year just started.
Ooh, they'll take got him. Got them.
Whatever opportunity they can, you know, a couple months in, they're already out of town. So we got a fun little show today. We're going to do some recap on the past week's worth of news, because I do think it was a very monumental week across the board. And we're also going to touch, at least in the get-go, on something that's near and dear to my heart. So we're going to jump right into that. Ev, do you got any pets at home?
I do. I have three pets. I have my darling dog, Zelda. She's so big, you guys. Oh, she's so big. And then we have two cats. We have Murr, who's been with us a long time. He's our homie. My wife and I, when we met almost 15 years ago, shortly after that, we got this little kitten named Murr. He's a blessing. And then
and
we have a little kitten
strong
named Stevie.
15 years later, huh?
I got to say, he's doing great. Good genes.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, like I said, this is near and dear to my heart. We're going to give a shout out.
Oh, for this is an audio product. Yep. But for those of you at home listening to the radio, we just saw a picture of the beloved Albert.
My little man, Albert, yeah. who passed away yesterday. But, you know, I want to talk about the value of adopting versus shopping, particularly in the United States. It's not just... You know, unfortunately, a lot of people do look at everything economically. Oh, you know, a new puppy costs X amount of money. Well, from a moral standpoint, I think the value of adopting over shopping is, frankly, it's not comparable. When you look at adoption and rescuing in the United States, estimates do vary, but over 2 million dogs and cats are euthanized each year in the U.S. Yep. Now, a lot of this comes because too few people take the time to spay or neuter their pets, too few adopt, and too many are surrendered. But with limited space in most shelters across the United States, healthy animals tragically lose their life year after year.
Fortunately, around here, we do have some no-kill shelters. So it's worth looking at. If you absolutely must surrender a pet, it's worth putting the time in. Doesn't take long. You can look to see if there's a no-kill shelter in your area.
Mm-hmm. And with shopping in particular, what's, I think, the worst aspect of it is the fact that you are financially incentivizing these puppy and kitten mills, which are basically factory style breeding facilities, prioritizing profit over the welfare of their animals. Many of these animals are raised in these mills are housed in very poor conditions with improper medical care, which leads to poor health, ongoing behavior and health issues due to lack of human companionship. A lot of times inbreeding can come into the picture, and this leads to long-term unhealthy pets that will, you know, not be able to give you the type of loving animal that you want to have. Now, this is not the animal's fault, obviously, but again, puppies that are purchased in pet stores in particular almost always come from one of these cruel breeding facilities. Dogs are known to be confined to small, filthy spaces, receiving little to no veterinary care. By adopting from a local shelter, not only are you giving back to your community, but you're really rescuing two lives, right, Ev? Because you're giving a loving home to this animal that wants nothing more than a warm, happy home and a lap to live out their golden years on. But you're also then opening space in this rescue or shelter for another creature that wants a second chance at life. We will specifically focus on the United States, where according to the Humane Society of the United States, nearly 3.3 million dogs enter U.S. shelters every single year.
Yeah,
that is literally millions of loving creatures who want nothing more than a good home and a good human to love, live out the rest of their life in love. According to the data from the same report, only 1.6 million of those dogs are adopted, which means that unfortunately about 670,000 dogs every year are euthanized annually. 1.1 million dogs, innocent dogs and puppies, yep, are left to live in shelters or foster homes for the rest of their days.
And in recent years, I've sort of thought about something a little differently, that it used to be hard for me to, you know, make a connection, to really get bonded with a pet. And then, you know, humans live longer than your pets. But in recent years, my thinking has changed on that, to where, I mean, really, humanity can never repay canines, dogs, for the debt of their companionship. What they've offered humanity over this last 10,000 years, however long it's been, that sort of unconditional companionship can't be compensated for. I mean, all we have to do is just do what we can, do our best to give them what they need.
I think it's super rare too. You look at a lot of human relationships are kind of predicated on love is not unconditional. Let's put it that way. Right. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Hypothetically, let's say that you're in a happy marriage.
No, it takes two to tango, though. Yeah.
The reason you love your spouse is because they're a good provider or because they're a great parent to your child or whatever. And if you didn't have the same situation, or, you know, this is, I guess, the more negative way to look at it, but we do know that there are a lot of relationships predicated on finances, right? Somebody,
it's an exchange. Yes.
Yeah, somebody that's lived a very privileged life and wants to be able to, continue that lifestyle that they're accustomed to is more likely to search out an individual who can provide that, whatever. Dogs don't look at the world that way. They love virtually unconditionally. And when we talk about, I'll use the word irresponsible, I think, purchasing a dog from a lot of these pet stores, that data from the Humane Society says up to 90% of animals, particularly dogs. Again, I'm a dog guy and I love cats as well, but I am allergic to cats. So unfortunately, I cannot have one. But I will be focusing on the dog aspect.
Sure.
There are 10,000 licensed and unlicensed breeders across the country, and only 3,000 are legal, according to spots.com.
And then contrast that with how many animals need adoption each year, right?
Oh, so many. Literally millions, right? Yes. 3.3 million dogs enter the U.S.
We don't need breeders
enter U.S.
in
shelters year after year after year. And so you look at the numbers too on cats versus dogs. About 43% of all pets, of all pet cats, were adopted from a shelter. That number goes down to 19% for pet dogs. In my situation in particular, I rescued two elderly dogs that were a bonded pair because elderly dogs frequently struggle to find a home. A lot of people want to, you know, have that young puppy to bring into their family, which does not, again, there are rescues that and shelters that have puppies available as well. I have numerous friends who wanted a puppy but didn't want to support a breeder. So they went and found, a barn puppy that had been rescued living in a living out by itself outside, that was found and it was called in. Hey, we found this puppy on our property. We don't know where it came from.
And none of this is to mention the fraud that goes on with breeders. You know, you're paying in some cases thousands of dollars, right? Because you have this targeted breed mix that you're going for. And it's an unregulated space, we'll just say.
What do we know? And we know deregulation, Ev, from the past week in East Palestine, which we will get to in the next segment.
Yeah.
What happens when government deregulation steps into capitalist industries, right?
Well, safety is the first thing to go. Yeah, no, that's exactly right.
So, you know, we see that in the United States, again, there are so, so many good, loving dogs that want nothing more than a happy home. In my situation, again, not only do elderly dogs struggle to be adopted, but bonded pairs because they have to go together. You have to have a home capable of taking both animals. And it was the best decision that I had ever made. I made this decision after losing my childhood dog. I didn't know how I'd ever recover. He was my best friend in the world.
It can be hard, but we owe it to them, right? The difficulty is worth it. The difficulty is worth it.
They taught me that I could love again in the sense that there are millions of more animals who would be more than happy to share that love with me and want me, want to spend time with me, want to come into my home and have a place to live out their golden years. And I was able to provide that. And, you know that the day is coming sooner rather than later, especially when you choose this route of rescuing an elderly animal. But these animals already are trained, right? They've been around families before. Sometimes they are not going to have the growing issues that a puppy might have. They just want to have their golden years lived out on your lap. And there, you can't put a price on that.
You really can't. No, you can't. We just need to do what we can do.
So that's my, you know, I took a bit of personal privilege today because this is something that's really important to me. I've volunteered at shelters before, even just walking the animals, right? Getting them out in space, giving them human interaction. It's invaluable. If you have the ability, if you're in the market for, I shouldn't say in the market because I hate that it is an industry. These are lives that we're talking about. But if you're looking for a pet or someone to bring love to your home, please consider rescuing or adopting rather than shopping, as again, you are not only supporting an unregulated and inhumane industry when you shop, but we have millions and millions of creatures that are right there. They're already trained. Yep. They're already loving. They just want your home and you.
And they're
to be
cheaper.
Able to spend time.
You're not paying thousands of dollars to rescue.
Significantly cheaper. Yeah. A couple hundred bucks. Yeah. You're rescuing not only the life of the animal that you rescue, but you're rescuing the life of the animal that can then come into the shelter or rescue because of the space opened.
And maybe
you're rescuing
yourself.
Your own life.
That's
in
right.
my situation, right?
That's right.
So thanks for joining everybody today. We got a wonderful Friday up. Now we're going to get into the news now that I've had my important moment. Shout out to my boy, Albert, my sweet prince. We'll talk to you right after the break. Be right back.
Dog in the window. I do hope that doggie's for sale.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back, party people. It is Friday, February 17th already. Jeez, it feels like the new year just started, Ev. It's already almost the end of February. I can't believe it.
Time flies, whether you're having fun or not.
Time certainly does. We got a caller on line one, Jeannie from Eau Claire. Jeannie, how are you doing today? What is up on this fabulously cold Friday afternoon?
Well, first of all, I want to say you have a beautiful and loving, kind heart. And to discuss your pets and dogs, I got lots of dogs, I've lost lots of dogs, and it was beautiful to hear what you had to say. Now I have to get down to business because this is a red alert. All of you out there who care about gerrymandering, women's health, and our democracy in the state of Wisconsin, you need to get out and vote as soon as possible. I live in a very red area that always has a high voting turnout. And today, they have surpassed their highest early voting turnout for a February primary ever. So you guys, people out there who have an R after their name, are hitting the polls in the rural areas, so you in the urban areas, get your buns out there, bring your friends, get out there, vote, because this is a red alert, and they are out coming in droves. So Please get out and vote. And I really believe, and I've always been an independent, but I support Democrats all the way after I've seen what's happened to a party of fascists. And my area here does not get the information. I'm in rural area that you guys possess, and hopefully someday you'll have a station around here to educate the people. But remember now, you know, they wondered how we voted for that insurrectionist that took Ron Kind's place. Please, all of you in the urban areas, get out and vote and save our state. Thank you guys for this opportunity. Get out and vote. You can go today. Even I just got done voting. Yeah. As soon as I heard this, I thought I better call in and get your friends out to vote. Thanks, guys, and keep up the great work.
Of course, Jeannie. I mean, nail on the head. We've been talking about this for months at this point, that this election is quite possibly, and in my opinion, quite probably, the most important election in the past 25 years in the state of Wisconsin, and it will dictate the next two plus decades in the state.
And I know it's hard. We say it so often, this is the most important election, but I hope that people are starting to sort of see a theme here, right? There's this ongoing unfolding theme that this stuff is truly important, and it's ongoing. This isn't, you don't just win and you're done.
I'm afraid, though, Ev, that it's like the Democrats have played into this whole boy who cried wolf thing, right? Because it's getting tired at this point. This is the most important election of your life, important election in your life, important election in your life. And then young people come out in droves, and we save the Democratic Party election cycle after election cycle after election cycle. And then they don't see anything change. And it's like, why would they keep voting? Because protecting democracy is a 24/7, 365 job, particularly in the state of Wisconsin. I've been out door knocking and canvassing the past couple of months. And, you know, we have to make the joke from the get-go. I thought we just had midterm elections. What are you doing out here again? And I'm like, you're telling me, man, right? I'm the one who somehow got convinced to come out here and do this. But we wouldn't be doing it if it didn't matter, right? These elections have consequences, and particularly in a swing state, a true 50-50 state like Wisconsin, though you wouldn't know it if you saw our gerrymandered maps, these races come up so often because they are so, so, so very important. And Jeannie, she said it. I mean, people are getting out to vote. People are excited to vote. And if we don't match the excitement we're seeing in some of these rural communities, now you could get me touched on, she almost makes me want to start talking about how gross it is that we don't have broadband access through all of rural Wisconsin, because frankly, internet should be a public utility at this point. It is necessary for day-to-day life, but we're lucky that people like Civic Media are available to share the kind of information that a lot of people in these more rural communities might not always have access to. I mean, the primary's coming up on Tuesday already, Ev. Tuesday.
And I won't be the one to argue against. Maybe there's a better way, right? It can be sort of exhausting for people who aren't perpetually politically minded. You know, they try their best, but every few weeks, it seems, they have to sort of direct that attention and focus it again. And I understand how that can be difficult for some people. So here's an idea. Why don't we turn out, put in the work now, get that majority, and let's change it up. Let's make it a little easier for people to vote.
Give us a cycle or two where we can finally take a deep breath and not have to worry about losing our democracy in the next race.
Who knows? Maybe make it a state holiday. Maybe we can...
Voting day should be a federal holiday first and foremost. Yeah. Oh yeah. No, that's step one. Step two, actually. Step one is getting big finances and dark money out of politics. Yes. But are you an early vote or an absentee vote guy, Ev? Jeannie touched on that, so I got to talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, this last couple of years, my wife and I have been, and we've mixed it in. We voted in person for the gubernatorial, you know, Senate race, but we've also done absentee. And we've also done early. So
you're well versed.
It's that convenience, man. We need it. We need to be able to switch it up as it's busy. Life is busy and intense sometimes. Having that leeway to do it and how it fits into your life is really, really important.
I'm personally a in-person day of election voter because It's gonna sound a little weird, but you know the Twitter meme, the running joke of like people watching. You go to a place like a Walmart or a big event of any kind, really, the state fair, when the Bucks championship parade type deal. If you go to an event where people gather, it can kind of be fun just to kind of see what other people are doing, how, what type of people are around, how they're behaving in public type deal.
Oh, it's been stressful lately, though. I understand exactly what you mean.
It's like a human zoo. That's what voting day is for me. I want to see who's at the polls with me. I want to see how they're behaving, what they're acting like, all that kind of stuff. It really, you know, hammers home the it's a day to celebrate voting day type deal. So this is Dueling Tangents on a lovely, lovely Friday afternoon with Luke and Brian, but occasionally Will and Evan as well. If you want to be like Jeannie, give us a call, 844-967-2789. We got some headlines that we're going to be touching right after the break. We'll see you then. Welcome back, party people. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. And occasionally, if you are lucky, William and Evan, if you got a tangent you'd like to share with us today, give us a call, 844-967-2789. And Ev, we're going to jump back into a topic that, again, as I discussed earlier in the show, we're going to be doing a little bit of a review of the week that just occurred, because there was a lot of big news stories. And I think we touched on it yesterday, but not nearly enough, because realistically, we would need... Do we need to denote an entire month to this story if we wanted to cover every aspect of it? But of course, I'm talking about the train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, where we essentially nuked an American community. Now, as Luke and I touched briefly on at the end of the show yesterday, unfortunately, the controlled burn was the best option available, because vinyl chloride and a number of the other gases present, or of the gases, excuse me, present, are highly explosive, and you do not want to completely blow this town off the map. So you have to try to mitigate the damage when you can. But the damage done was, of course, a massive plume of smoke that could be seen essentially from space. I mean, we have images of planes flying overhead where you can quite clearly see it. If you haven't gotten a chance, Google some of the aftermath pictures.
Have you seen footage on the ground? People in East Palestine. Yes. I mean, it's like storm clouds settling over the town, but it's phosgene. I mean, it's horrendous. It's horrible.
Which, again, Ev, we touched on it yesterday. Phosgene gas killed over 85,000 people in World War One, along with mustard gas, was considered the main chemical warfare used throughout the First World War, and has since been banned by the Geneva Convention. Yeah. So it is kind of like we are committing war crimes against our own people. And this comes, of course, on the heels. I noted on social media the day of that, of course, the balloons are the outlier, because that's just a joke. But the Super Bowl, you know, our yearly ritualistic celebration of unbridled consumerism, where 11 minutes of gameplay gets 9 to 10 hours of coverage over the course of the day, and then gets overanalyzed to heck for the next, you know, multiple weeks. Well, this story received a media blackout, and, you know, I'm not hating. I watched the Super Bowl. Of course I did, because I think it's A, I grew up a huge football fan, so I'm inclined to watch it. But B, I'm actually more interested now in the commercials.
You're not alone. You are not alone.
I know I'm not alone, but I think my reasoning might be alone. A lot of people want to see, oh, great commercials. Ha ha, they're going to make me laugh. They're funny. I take the approach more so of, I want to see what these multi-billion dollar corporate conglomerates with marketing departments that have hundreds of millions of dollars of yearly budget, what they do in their shining moment, right?
They see this, the Super Bowl as an opportunity that cannot be missed.
Exactly. It there's a reason people make the joke of, this is blank and blank Super Bowl for the year, because that is the one moment, the entity of American culture that is your crown jewel for everything that, you know, our capitalist hegemony loves to worship. And in the Super Bowl commercials, I mean, that's the best example you'll ever find. You have 30 seconds to a minute if you're some filthy, filthy, wealthy company, to put your best foot forward. What do these $100 million marketing budgets think is the best material we can come up with this year? I find it fascinating to watch what each company thinks. This is the best foot forward. This is how we're going to really splash this year. How do we want social media to talk about it? I don't know. It's almost like a case study on marketing 101.
Well, and it's a contest
to see how valuable.
Yeah. How far away from from their sort of obvious objective can they get? How obtuse and strange can they make the advertising content, right? I could be wrong here, but I feel as though the Super Bowl was the catalyst for advertisers to get really weird with it, right?
To get freaky, yeah.
Really weird, where, you know, the name of the company.
Social media, too, because remember, social media attention comes from being weird, drawing eyeballs, getting people talking about you, subtweeting you, hashtag blank type deal. But the Super Bowl, of course, overshadowed arguably the worst economic catastrophe of the last couple decades in the United States. We completely poisoned this town. If you've seen videos from the local rivers where hundreds of fish are lying there dead. I mean, people are reporting pets are coming in sick, $18,000 to $20,000 surgeries. Some of them are dying before they even reach their veterinarian. I tell you what, Ev, especially as someone who has just gone through it, but the natural way, which I, again, was, I'm incredibly fortunate to have been able to have him in my arms as he passed. If my pet, my best friend in the whole world, died because of the complete malfeasance of some multinational corporate conglomerate trying to save a few extra bucks here and there, I mean, that would be my John Wick origin story, man.
I would have the fury of a thousand suns. I mean, I really could. It's hard to describe how upsetting this is. And I mean, Phosgene, again, it's also hard to describe how dangerous Phosgene is for humans. 1 minute of exposure to 500 parts per million, okay? Parts per million at 1 minute, that's a lethal dose of Phosgene. You will very likely be dead within 24 hours. And I mean, it's just, it's covering this town right now. And you said it yesterday, $25,000.
In a town of 5,000.
It's horrible.
Of 5,000 people. So $5 per person.
That's right.
To have completely destroyed your community. It's grotesque. And it gets even worse, actually. I believe I saw reporting from, I want to say it was the New Republic, that said the initial offer of $25,000 to the community was they would also include, you know, the generosity of Norfolk Southern. They would also include $1,000 inconvenience checks to residents within the evacuation zone. Notice this is only the evacuation zone, which does not cover the entire area of damage that their incompetence has led to. But they'll also reimburse expense receipts for residents within East Palestine. So thank you. Thank you so much. But of course, there have been reports on Twitter of the contract you have to sign with them, which will essentially prevent you from any long-term or further litigation against the corporation. People's children are reporting struggling to breathe. Particularly, there was one story of a four-year-old with asthma that had to be rushed to the emergency room because they were struggling to get oxygen. And I have seen some coverage now over mainstream networks, better late than never, I guess. But I'll actually speak to an article that I saw from CNN yesterday that finally, let me make sure I got the date on this, Wednesday, February 15th. So that's what, a week, almost 10 days after the fact, News Nation reporter Evan Lambert McMichael, who was arrested after reporting live during a news conference held by Ohio Governor Mike DeWine, has finally had the charges dropped. Now, this is reporter in the viral Twitter video who gets into an argument with Ohio National Guard General, Major General John Harris, who I believe is actually in Mike DeWine's cabinet, or is at least a close friend of Mike DeWine. I'll have to go back and double check that to confirm.
Sure.
And DeWine announced a few days afterwards that he feels bad for the reporter, but that he will not be getting involved in the situation because that's not his job. Of course, the vast majority of Americans who saw it were disgusted. A free press is kind of the basis of American democracy in a lot of ways.
1984 stuff. This is beyond the pale. I mean, take a look at it, people. This isn't good.
Mm-hmm. And it you have to think, what are they hiding if they're this afraid of coverage? Now, coverage has started to grow as, of course, social media has been focusing on this event, because really social media is kind of the one avenue for the average person to have their voice heard at the kind of large scale that you would receive on one of these major networks. And so we have been able to see images of this catastrophe playing out in real time that we might not have otherwise had access to.
Yeah.
We're going to be staying on this topic going forward the next few months, Ev, because news story will break day after day after day, particularly with the contamination levels as they check. Is it safe to drink the water? Is it safe to return to your home? We briefly touched on it yesterday. I mentioned it to Luke, but we weren't able to get into it in as much detail as I would have liked. But Jamie Baker from WTOV 9 Ohio reported that Norfolk Southern did not attend. This is Feb 15th, so this would have been, what, Wednesday night at this time now? Did not attend the East Palestine Town Hall that was held Wednesday night to specifically discuss the event because they were, quote, increasingly concerned about the growing physical threat to employees.
Wow.
The rest of their statement read, at the same time, we know that many are rightfully angry and frustrated right now. Unfortunately, after consulting with community leaders, we have become increasingly concerned about the growing physical threat to our employees and members of the community around this event, stemming from the increasing likelihood of the participation of outside parties. With that in mind, Norfolk Southern will not be in attendance this evening. We want to continue our dialogue with the community and address their concerns, and our people will remain in East Palestine to respond to the situation and meet with residents. So, you know, they want to make sure they continue the dialogue, but they just don't want to do it in person at the event specifically created to foster dialogue
to meet with
the
residents.
Community and the company.
Yeah.
It's so pathetic. Now, an image was released from that town hall. I want to say it was held at the local high school where the bubblers, these are bubblers. This is a Wisconsin radio network. Let's get it right. They referred to it as water fountain, and I wanted to make sure I clarified that that was a bubbler.
That's right.
Had locks on them.
Oh,
so
my.
Wow. They were quite literally saying, you are not allowed to drink from the bubblers at the high school because this water is not safe for
human
consumption.
And it's true. We don't want to foster panic. You know, false information is a big enough problem these days. Mistrust with the media is a big enough problem, but this has been seriously underreported. A disservice to the intensity of this situation. It's a real problem.
And you did touch on something that I think worth covering, Ev. Fear, particularly in America, can make people do crazy things. Perhaps they don't trust the American citizens with the truth, but at the same time, then why do we even allow a situation that could get to the point where it's so dangerous that we can't trust American citizens
with
the truth?
Well, again, it goes both ways, you know? Yeah, if they're so worried about the public reaction to a disaster of this scale, hiding it, it will happen. It will come out. People will learn about it. It will be reported on. Yeah, timeliness seems like a missed opportunity here. They had an opportunity to get in front of this, properly relay the seriousness of the situation, and react accordingly. And so far, they've whiffed every single one.
Ever since I was a child, Ev, I tell you what, one thing my dad hammered home is that lying will always make the situation worse. Yeah. And I have internalized that. Like I get physically ill if I have to lie about something. That's a bit hyperbole. You know, it's not like I'm sitting here vomiting like the main character in Knives Out every time I lie. that would be incredibly inconvenient for day-to-day life. But I do like to be honest with people because I think it's disrespectful to tell them the truth. And frankly, to not tell them the truth. And frankly, it's easier to tell the truth, right? If you have to keep all these lies in mind that you forgot what lie you told to what person, all of a sudden you're getting caught up in these lies that are so many levels deep. Like, just be honest. It's easier for yourself because you just got to remember the truth then. It's only one thing to remember instead of all these lies.
It can be difficult to confront this stuff every now and again to recognize that you've made a mistake or that you're not addressing something how it should be addressed, but you're absolutely right. Just be real with it.
And in the end, the truth will always come out, as you just mentioned, which is an excellent, excellent segue into what we're going to get to for the next segment right after the break. Because the truth was revealed in regards to Pat Tillman. We're getting back to the Super Bowl a little bit. Obviously, if you watched the Super Bowl, you saw the, I don't know what you would call it, but I'll call it the whitewashing of the Pat Tillman story that the NFL spun in their pregame. They love to act like we're this hoity-toity good organization doing all these good things left and right. But the Pat Tillman's story. He's been made a martyr for a situation that he didn't truly believe in.
Yeah.
And I think it's gross that the NFL didn't do a fair job of covering that. So we're going to get to that right after the break. If you got any more tangents you want to share with us on this Friday afternoon, please feel free to share. 844-967-2789. We got one caller, Joanne. We're going to hit you up right after the break before we jump into the Pat Tillman story. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. And if you are lucky, William and Ev, we'll see you right after the break. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents on Friday, February 17th with Luke and Brian. And because you are lucky today, William and Evan, we got a call on the line. We're going to jump right to that. Joe from Madison. How are you doing today, Joe? What's up?
First, we got Joanne.
Oh, that's right. We got Joanne first. My apologies, Joanne.
Thank you so much for the great show. Just a note, there's a movie, White Noise. You've probably heard of it already. With Adam Driver, this was something coming out of Netflix last year that portrays something that is akin to the Ohio industrial leak. In fact, some of the extras were taken from the populace of East Palatine. The movie talks about a chemical leak that caused the airborne toxic event. The cloud actually looked, you know, that big mushroom-style cloud looked a lot like what was portrayed in White Noise. So for those of you who have a Netflix queue available, you can search on White Noise or Adam Driver or whatever and get a picture of what happened. It shows our anxiety as a nation that we're moving back into the industrial age. We were out of it for a while and sent all our industrial work to China, but we'll be seeing a lot more accidents as we have a lot of greedy corporations that don't know how to put safety restraints into place and that have ununionized workforces dealing with some very, very dangerous material. So thanks a lot, guys. This is White Noise.
Thank you.
That's a great point, Joanne. First of all, I got to apologize because I misread Joanne from Madison and Joe from Madison as thinking it was the same call. So that one's on me. But Joanne made a great point as well. That it's so weird. A man named Ben Ratner from East Palestine, he talked about this on, I want to say it was CNN, actually, that he was cast as an extra in White Noise. And as a longtime resident of the village, not only did he see incredibly eerie parallels between the two situations, he had to stop watching the movie because the real life experience he now had made it impossible to watch what had otherwise been one of his favorite movies because he was an extra in the movie. So, I mean, check it out. Is it life imitating art? Is it art imitating life? Or are we just living in a massive simulation and
just
they're
a horrible
just trying to
tragedy,
mess with us at this point?
You know, of a neo-corporate reality where lives come secondary.
That's the real answer. Yeah, is that the ultra wealthy, greedy, small handful of elites at the top of society just don't care about us and they will do whatever they can to save an extra dollar or two. So we're going to jump to our second call now. Joe from Madison. Joe, how are you doing on this Friday afternoon?
Good. And heads up to Joanne, from Madison. I guess my Doppler, perhaps will be in a bar somewhere, which would be fun. Anyway, thanks again. Great show, you guys. And I wanted to return to subject you had brought up earlier in the hour, which is the whole question of, people are tired out, but man, this really is an important election, the state Supreme Court primary, that is, that happens this coming Tuesday. And I just wanted to remind people that, and I find this to be such an amazing thing, Janet Protasiewicz said that if a case on fair maps came up, she would say it's a good idea that the Supreme Court take this up. And I think it's amazing that we are at a point where sewer maps are apparently so far away from what we have in Wisconsin with this Republican gerrymandered map situation that that we are having votes on fair maps, that people want to have fair maps. And when we have a candidate who says, yeah, I'll take a look at this case, what could be better? I just wanted to add in, I was looking at Iowa because I know Iowa's had a pretty good reputation for having fair maps. And I just did a quick Google on Fair Maps Iowa, and so many of the entries came to fairgrounds rather than fair maps.
Oh, no.
Which tells you it's not as big of a deal there as it is with us because we are so far away from having fair maps. So it matters, folks. Nothing can happen until we have equal representation, meaning at this point, you know, the way that our population goes, we are half the votes, or excuse me, one third of the votes for the Republicans gets them one half of the seats because we are so terribly gerrymandered. So I know it's hard. People are busy. But look at this primary coming up on Tuesday. And Janet Protasiewicz says that she will tackle this question. So wanted to just add that to the discussion as we round the bases on the weekend and then heading into this primary. Thanks a lot, you guys. Great show.
Great point, Joe. I mean,
yeah,
land doesn't vote, Ev. People vote. And in this situation, I mean, in all situations, voters should be choosing their reps. Reps should not be choosing their voters. Luckily, we have Judge Mitchell and Judge Protasiewicz on the ballot coming up on Tuesday that do believe that fair maps should fundamentally be used to represent the people of Wisconsin. So we're going to jump really briefly into this topic. I'll probably expand on it sometime in the future, but it just, it got me angry. The Pat Tillman thing being honored as a hero by the NFL. We talked about lying and how the story will always come out in the end. And the Tillman example is the perfect example. He was made to be a martyr for the U.S. military. They announced that he was killed when charging up a hill in an effort to defend the men he served with. However, that was not killed by enemies, by the way. However, that was not the case. It was revealed a few years later that he was, in fact, killed in a friendly fire incident. He had become openly critical of U.S. war efforts and was planning on speaking with U.S. intellectual Noam Chomsky upon his return.
Yeah.
He was quoted as saying, "This war is effing illegal," and was prior to being killed. And then the military attempted to hide this. If you don't take, you know, don't take my word for it, go listen to his brother Kevin's testimony before the U.S. House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform, saying, quote, "The deception surrounding the Tillman case was an insult to the family, but more importantly, its primary purpose was to deceive a whole nation. We say these things with disappointment and sadness for our country. Once again, we have been used as props in a Pentagon public relations exercise, of which we can continue to see to this day when the NFL trots out all of this Pat Tillman stuff."
I was shocked to see that, really.
Read the story, everybody. Go read into the history of the Pat Tillman situation. We didn't get to cover this today, Ev, but I'm sure Luke and I will get into it in the future. If not, Luke on Monday. But the Dominion lawsuit filing that was released last night is fascinating. Reading up on what famous hosts like Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity had to say when they weren't on air, or even what executives such as Gary Schreier, Fox President Jay Wallace, and Rupert Murdoch himself had to say. I'm sure we'll touch on that next week, but that is fascinating as well. If you have the opportunity, try to read up on that. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. There is just so much to cover. It's hard for us to get into it in a one-hour show.
Quite a week.
But that's why you got to keep up with the Civic Media Network, man. We got so much to cover and such little time to do it. This is William and Evan filling in today on this lovely but a little bit chilly Friday afternoon. I hope all of you have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. We will see you soon.
Take care, my friend.